can, I want it to be ours.
Why?
Because I want to spend as much time with you as I can. Why are you being so hesitant? Is it the money? I would pay everything, of course.
No, you wouldn't, I scoff. If I was to agree to this, I would contribute. I'm not looking for a free ride. I can't believe we are actually discussing this.
Then what is it?
I don't know. We haven't known each other that long. I had always thought I wouldn't live with anyone else until I was married, I explain. That's not the only reason. My mother is a huge reason, along with the fear of having to rely on someone else, even Hardin. That's what my mother did. She relied on my father's income until he left, and after that she leaned on the slim possibility of his return. She always expected him to come back for us, but he never did.
Married? That's an ancient idea you have there, Tessa.
He chuckles and sits down in the chair. What's wrong with marriage? I ask. Not between us, just in general, I add. He shrugs.
Nothing wrong with it. It's just not for me.
This has taken too serious a turn. I don't want to discuss marriage with Hardin, but it does bother me that he says marriage isn't for him. I haven't ever thought about actually marrying him. It's way too early for that. Years too early. But I would like the option eventually, and want to be married by the time I'm 25 and then have at least 2 children. I have my whole future planned. Had, my subconscious reminds me. I had everything planned until I met Hardin, and now my future is constantly changing and shifting.
That bothers you, doesn't it?
He asks, breaking my thoughts. Hardin and I making love has tied an invisible string between us, uniting our bodies and minds. The changes in my plans are for the better, right? No. I try to hide the emotion in my voice, but it comes out heavy. I just have never heard anyone say flat out they don't want to get married. I thought that's what everyone wants. That's the central point of life, right?
Not exactly. I think people just want to be happy. Think of Catherine. Look what marriage brought her and Heathcliff.
I love that we speak the same narrative language. There's no one else who would speak in this way to me, the way that I understand the best. They didn't marry each other. That was the problem, I say with a laugh. I think back to the time when there had been so many parallels between my relationship with Hardin and Catherine's with Heathcliff.
Rochester and Jane?
He suggests. Hardin's mention of Jane Eyre pleasantly surprises me. You're joking, right? He was cold and withholding. He also proposed to Jane without telling her that he was already married to that madwoman he had locked in the attic. You aren't making very many valid points here, I say.
I know. I just love hearing you ramble about literary heroes.
He brushes the hair off his forehead, and in a childish moment, I stick my tongue out at him.
So what you're saying is that you want to marry me? I can promise you that I have no bat-crazy wife hidden in my house.
He takes a step toward me. There's no wife, sure, but it's the other things he hides that worries me. My heart is beating out of my chest as he closes the gap between us. What? No, of course not. I was just speaking in terms of all marriage, not us specifically. I am naked and talking to Hardin about marriage. What the hell is happening in my life?
So you're saying you wouldn't?
No, I wouldn't. Well, I don't know. Why are we even discussing this? I hide my face in his chest and feel him shake with amusement.
I was just wondering, but now that you've presented me with a valid argument, I may have to reconsider my no-marriage stance. You could make an honest man out of me.
He sounds serious, but there is no way he is, right? Just as I begin to question his sanity, he laughs and kisses my temple. Can we talk about something else? I groan. Losing my virginity and talking about marriage is way too much for my mushy brain.
Sure, but I am not dropping the apartment thing. You have until tomorrow to give me an answer. I won't wait forever,
he says. How sweet, I roll my eyes.
You know me, Mr. Romantic,
he says and kisses my forehead.
Now let's get a shower. You standing there naked makes me want to throw you on the bed and fuck you all over again.
I shake my head and pull out of his embrace before wrapping my robe around my body. Are you coming or what? I say, and grab my toiletry bag.
I would love to come, but I guess a shower will have to do for now.
He winks, and I swat his arm as we walk into the hall. Chapter 80 By the time we both take a shower and lie back in bed, it's almost 4 in the morning. I have to be up in an hour, I groan against his chest.
You could sleep until 7:30 and still make it on time, he reminds me.
Rushing my morning doesn't sound very appealing, but I do need the sleep. Thankfully, I took that nap, so I hopefully won't be dead on my feet during my first day of actually working at Vance. I mumble against his skin.
I'll fix your alarm,
he says, and I drift off. My eyes are burning from lack of sleep as I try to curl my unruly hair. I line my watery eyes with brown eyeliner and put on my new ruby dress. The neckline is square and just low enough to accentuate my bust without being immodest. The hem ends just above my knees, and the small brown belt across my waist gives the illusion that I took longer to get ready than I actually did. I consider putting on a little blush, but thanks to my night with Harden, my cheeks are still glowing. I slip into my new shoes and check myself out in the mirror. The dress is quite flattering, and I look better than I deserve. I glance over at Harden wrapped in the blanket on my tiny bed, his feet dangling off the edge, and I smile. I wait until the very last minute to wake him. I consider not waking him at all, but I am selfish and want to kiss him goodbye. I have to leave, I say, and gently shake his shoulder.
I love you,
he mumbles and puckers his lips without opening his eyes. Are you going to class? I ask after I kiss him.
Nope,
he says and rolls back over. I place another kiss on his shoulder and grab my jacket and purse. I want to crawl back in bed with him so badly. Maybe living with him wouldn't be so bad. We spend almost every night together anyway. I shake the thought from my head. It's a bad idea. It's too soon. Too soon. Still, I spend the entire drive imagining getting an apartment with Harden, picking out curtains and painting walls. By the time I hit the elevator at Vance, I've already picked out the shower curtain and bath mats. But when the elevator reaches the third floor, a young man in a dark navy suit steps on and breaks my concentration.
Hello,
he says and reaches for the elevator buttons. Seeing that the button for the top floor has already been pushed, he leans back against the wall of the elevator.
Are you new here?
He asks. He smells like soap and his eyes are a crispy blue, which is a strange contrast to his dark hair. I'm just an intern, I tell him.
Just an intern?
He laughs. I mean, I'm an intern, not an actual employee, I correct myself nervously.
I started as an intern a few years ago and was hired on full-time. Do you go to WCU?
Yeah, did you?
Yep, just graduated last year. Glad that's over with.
He chuckles.
You'll like it here.
Thanks, I already love it, I say as we step off the elevator. As I go to turn the corner, he says,
I never caught your name.
Tessa Young. He smiles, and with a small goodbye wave, he says,
I'm Trevor. Nice to meet you, Tessa.
The same woman from yesterday is at the desk, and this time introduces herself as Kimberly. She smiles, wishes me good luck, and gestures toward a table full of food and coffee. I smile and thank her, grabbing a sprinkled donut and a cup of coffee before I head back to my office. On my desk, I find a thick pile of paper with a note from Mr. Vance telling me to begin my first manuscript and good luck. I love the freedom of this internship. I can't believe my luck. Digging into my donut, I pluck the note off the paper and get to work. The manuscript is actually really good, and I can't seem to put it down. I'm only a third of the way in when the phone on my desk rings. Hello? I say, then realize I have no clue how to answer my own office phone. Wanting to sound more grown up, I add, I mean, Tessa Young's office. I bite my lip and hear a small laugh on the other end. Ms. Young, there is someone here to see you. Shall I send him in? Kimberly asks. Tessa, call me Tessa, please, I tell her. It seems disrespectful to have her call me Ms. Young. She is far more experienced and older than me. Tessa, she says, and I can picture her friendly smile.
Should I send him in?
She asks again. Oh, yeah. Wait, who is it? I'm not sure. Young guy. He has tattoos. Lots of tattoos, she whispers, and I laugh. Yeah, I will come out to get him, I tell her, and hang up. That Harden is here both thrills me and scares me. I hope everything is okay. When I walk out into the lobby, he is standing with his hands in his pockets, and Kimberly is on the phone. I get the feeling that she is only pretending to be on the phone. I can't tell for sure. I hope that it doesn't seem like I am taking advantage of the great opportunity Mr. Vance has given me by having visitors on my second day. Hey, is everything okay? I approach him.
Yeah, I just wanted to see how your first full day was going.
He smiles and rolls his eyebrow ring in his fingers. Oh, it's great, I begin, but stop when Mr. Vance strides toward us.
Well, well, well. Come to grovel for your job back?
He smiles wide at Hardin and pats him on the shoulder.
You wish, you old wanker,
Hardin says, laughing, and my jaw drops. Mr. Vance chuckles and raises his fist before playfully nudging Hardin in his ribs. They must be closer than I thought.
So what do I owe the honor? Or are you here to stalk my new intern?
He looks over at me.
The second. Stalking interns is my favorite pastime.
I look back and forth between them, unsure what to say. I love seeing this playful side to Hardin. It doesn't come out much.
Do you have time to get some lunch, if you haven't already?
Hardin asks me. My eyes dart to the clock on the wall. It's already noon. The day has gone by quickly. I look at Mr. Vance and he shrugs.
You have an hour each day for lunch. A girl's got to eat.
He smiles and says goodbye to Hardin before disappearing down the hall.
I texted you a few times to make sure you got here, but you didn't answer.
Hardin tells me when we step onto the elevator. I haven't looked at my phone. I got sucked into a story, I tell him, and I reach for his hand.
You're okay, right? We're okay?
He asks, his eyes locked into mine. Yeah, why wouldn't we be?
I don't know. I was just getting worried because you weren't answering me. I had thought maybe you were starting to regret last night.
He looks down. What? Of course not. I honestly didn't check my phone. I have no regrets from last night, not a single one. I can't hide my smile as the memories invade my thoughts.
Good. Well, that's a damn relief.
He lets out a breath. You drove all the way here because you thought I was having regrets? I ask. It's a little extreme, but flattering all the same.
Yeah. Well, not completely. I also wanted to take you to lunch.
He smiles and lifts my hand to his lips. We step off the elevator and walk outside. I should have brought my jacket. I shiver and Hardin looks over to me.
I have a jacket in my car. We can grab it, then walk around the corner to Brio. It's really good.
We walk to his car and he pulls a black leather jacket out of his trunk, which makes me laugh. He must have an entire wardrobe in there. Ever since I met him, he's been pulling clothes out of that trunk. The jacket is surprisingly warm and smells like Hardin. It engulfs me, of course, so I shake my arms to push the sleeves up. Thank you. I kiss him on the jaw.
It looks good on you. Perfect fit.
He takes my hand as we walk down the sidewalk. We earn a few strange glances from the businessmen and women on the streets. Sometimes I forget how different we appear on the outside. We are polar opposites in almost every way, but somehow it works for us. Brio is a small but quaint Italian place. The floor is covered in beautiful multicolored tiles, and the ceiling is a mural of heaven, with chubby, smiling cherubs waiting outside white gates and a pair of angels, one white and one black, locked in an embrace beyond them. The white angel seems to be trying to pull the other through the gates to the other side.
Tess,
Hardin says, and pulls me by the sleeve. Coming, I mumble, and we walk to the table, which is set in the back of the restaurant. Hardin sits in the chair right next to me instead of across, pulling his chair closer and resting his elbows on the table. He orders for both of us, but I don't mind since he's been here before. So you and Mr. Vance are really close then, I ask.
I wouldn't say that, but we know each other well enough.
He shrugs. You seem to really get along. I like seeing you that way. The hint of a smile tugs at his lips, and he puts his hand on my thigh.
Do you now?
Yes, I like to see you happy. I feel like there is more behind his and Mr. Vance's relationship than he is telling me, but for now I am not going to push it.
I am happy. Happier than I thought I would be. Ever.
He adds. What has gotten into you? You're getting soft on me, I tease, and he chuckles.
I can knock over a few tables, bloody a few noses to remind you,
he says, and I push my shoulder into his. No thanks, I giggle. Our food arrives, and I thank the waitress. The food looks amazing, and I inhale the great aromas before taking a bite. Hardin ordered us some sort of ravioli, and it's delicious.
Good, huh?
He brags and fills his mouth with food. I nod and do the same. After we're finished, Hardin and I bicker about who is going to pay for lunch, but he ends up winning.
You can pay me back later,
He winks behind the waitress's back. When we walk back to VP, Harden follows me inside. You're coming up? I ask him.
Yeah, I wanted to see your office. Then I will go. Promise.
Deal, I tell him, and we step onto the elevator. When we reach the top floor, I give him his jacket back and he shrugs it on. My eyes widen at how hot he looks in the leather.
Hey, it's you again,
the guy in the navy suit says as we walk down the hall. And it's you again, I smile. His eyes dart to Harden, who introduces himself.
Nice to meet you. My name is Trevor. I work in finance.
He gives a little wave, then says,
Well, see you around,
and walks away. When we walk into my office, Harden grabs my wrist and turns me to face him.
What the hell was that?
He spits out. Is he joking? I look down at my wrist in his hand and take that as a no. His grip isn't tight, but it holds me in place. What?
That guy.
What about him? I just met him this morning in the elevator. I pull my wrist away.
It didn't seem like you just met. The two of you were just flirting in front of me.
I can't help it, but I let out a laugh that's more like a bark. What? You're insane if you think that was flirting. I was being polite, and so was he. Why would I flirt with him? I try to keep my voice down. Causing a scene will not be good for me.
Why wouldn't you? He was nice and clean-cut, suit and all,
Harden says. I realize that he seems more hurt and worried than angry. My instinct tells me to cuss him out and tell him to get the hell out, but I decide to take a different approach. Just like when he was breaking things at his father's house. Is that what you think? That I want someone like him? Someone unlike you? I ask in a gentle voice. Harden opens his eyes wide, taken aback. I know he expected me to blow up at him, but this change of pace slows him down and he contemplates what to say next.
I don't know. Maybe.
His eyes meet mine. Well, you're wrong, as usual, I smile. I need to talk to him about this later, but my need to make sure he knows he has nothing to worry about overpowers my need to correct him. I'm sorry if you think I was flirting with him, but I wasn't. I wouldn't do that to you, I assure him. His eyes soften and I bring my hand up to his cheek. How can one person be so strong yet so weak?
Okay,
he says. I laugh and caress his cheek. I love catching him off guard. What is he when I have you? His eyes flutter and he finally smiles. I'm relieved that I am learning how to disengage the bomb that is Harden.
I love you,
he says and presses his lips to mine.
I'm sorry for blowing up like that.
I accept your apology. Now let me show you my office, I say in a cheery voice.
I don't deserve you,
he says quietly, too quietly. I choose to ignore it and keep my uplifting attitude. So what do you think? I beam. He chuckles and listens intently as I show him every detail, every book on the shelf, and the empty picture frame on my desk. I was thinking I want to put a picture of us here, I tell him. We have never taken any pictures together, and the thought hadn't even crossed my mind until I placed the empty frame there. Harden doesn't seem like the type who would smile for a camera, even on a cell phone.
Oh, I don't really do pictures,
he says, confirming my thoughts. But when he sees I'm a little embarrassed by being shut down, he strains to say,
I mean, I guess I could take one. Just one, though.
Let's worry about that later. I smile, and he seems relieved.
Now, can we move on to how sexy you look in that dress? It's been driving me crazy since I got here.
His voice is a full octave deeper, and he takes a step toward me. My body heats immediately. His words never cease to unravel me.
You're lucky I didn't open my eyes this morning. If I had...
He traces his fingertips along the neckline of my dress.
I wouldn't have let you leave.
He brings his other hand to the hem of my dress and caresses my thigh. Harden, I warn. My voice betrays me and comes out as more of a moan.
What, babe? You don't want me to do this?
He lifts me up and sits me on the edge of my desk. My thoughts are clouded by his lips against my neck. I dig my fingers into his hair and he nips at my skin. We can't. Someone could come in, or something. The words are jumbled and don't make much sense. He puts his hands on my thighs and opens them farther.
There is a lock on the door for a reason. I really want to take you right here on this desk, or maybe against the window.
His mouth travels lower on my chest. The idea of what he is proposing sends electricity through my body. His fingers brush over the lace on my panties, and he sucks a breath through his teeth.
"You're killing me,"
he groans as he looks between my legs to see the white lace set I bought yesterday. I can't believe I am letting this happen, on a desk in my new office on the second day of my internship. The idea thrills me as much as it terrifies me. "Lock the..." I begin, but we are interrupted by the shrill ring of my phone. I jump straight up and scramble around the desk to grab it. "Hello? Tessa Young speaking."
"Miss Young?"
"Tessa," Kimberly corrects herself. "Mr. Vance is leaving for the day and is on his way to your office," she says with a hint of amusement in her voice. I flush and thank her. Clearly, she can sense how irresistible Harden is to me. Chapter 81. Harden leaves shortly after he and Mr. Vance finish bickering about a football game. I apologize for having a visitor, but he brushes it off, telling me that Harden is like family and he is welcome to come by any time. Visions of Harden making love to me on the desk take over my imagination, and Mr. Vance has to repeat what he said next about payroll 3 times before I come back to reality. I go back to reading the manuscript, and I am so into it that I don't realize it's after 5 when I look up again. I am an hour late to leave, and I have missed a call from Harden. When I get to my car, I call him back, but he doesn't answer. I drive back through moderate traffic, and when I get to my room, I'm surprised to see Steph on her bed. I almost forget she lives here too sometimes. "Long time no see," I joke, and drop my purse and pull off my heels. "Yeah," she says and sniffles. "Are you okay? What happened?" I sit on her bed with her.
"I think Tristan and I broke up,"
she sobs. It's a strange sight to see Steph crying. She's usually so strong and sassy. "Why? What do you mean you think?" I ask and put my hand on her back to comfort her.
"Well, we got in a fight, and I broke up with him, but I didn't mean it. I don't know why I did it. I was just pissed because he was sitting with her, and I know how she is."
"Who?" I ask, even though I somehow already know.
"Molly. You should have seen how she was flirting with him and hanging on his every word."
"But she knows you two are together. Isn't she your friend?"
"She doesn't care about that. She'll do anything to get male attention."
As I watch Steph cry and wipe her eyes, my already strong dislike of Molly grows even more. "I don't think Tristan would go for her. I see the way he looks at you. He really cares about you. I think you should call him and talk it out," I suggest.
"What if he's with her?"
"He's not," I assure her. "I really don't see Tristan running off with the pink-haired snake."
"How do you know? Sometimes you think you know people, but you don't,"
she says and looks into my eyes.
Hey,
Harden says as he bursts into the room, and then takes in the sad scene before him.
Should I come back?
He shifts uncomfortably. Harden isn't the type to comfort a crying girl, friend or not.
No, I'm going to go find Tristan and try to apologize.
She stands.
Thank you, Tessa.
She hugs me and looks at Harden. They exchange awkward glances before she exits the room. Harden turns and gives me a kiss.
You hungry?
Yeah, actually I am, I tell him. I should do some homework, but I'm actually pretty far ahead. I really have no idea how or when Harden actually works.
I was thinking that after we get something to eat, you could call Karen or Landon and see what I should wear to the, you know, the wedding.
The mention of Landon's name tugs at my heart. I haven't talked to him in a few days, and I miss him. I want to tell him about my internship and maybe even about Harden and me. I haven't decided that yet, but I still want to talk to him. Yeah, I'll call Landon. I'm excited for the wedding, I tell him, then realize I need to get something to wear to the wedding as well.
Yeah, me too. I am so thrilled. Could I be more excited?
He rolls his eyes and I laugh. Well, I'm glad you're at least going. It means a lot to your father and Karen. He shakes his head, but he's come a long way in the short time that I've known him.
Yeah. Let's go eat.
He grumbles and grabs my jacket off the chair. Let me change first, jeez, I groan. I feel his eyes on me as I undress and grab jeans and a WCU sweatshirt out of my dresser and put them on quickly.
You look adorable. Sexy office woman by day and cute college girl by night,
he teases. My stomach flutters at his words and I lean up on my toes to kiss his cheek. We decide to go to the mall and eat so that we can go shopping afterward. I call Landon as we sit down, and he tells me that he will ask his mother what Hardin should wear and call me right back.
We can find your outfit first, I guess?
He suggests. I don't know what to wear either, I laugh.
Well, you have the luxury of looking beautiful regardless of what you wear.
That is not true. You definitely pull off that I don't give a crap how I look, but I look flawless look. He gives me a cocky smirk and leans back in his chair.
I do, don't I?
I roll my eyes and then notice my phone buzzing. It's Landon.
Hey,
Landon says.
So she said it would be best if you wear white. I know it's not the norm, but that's what my mother wants. And at least try to get Hardin in dress pants and a tie. I don't think they're expecting much from him, to be honest.
He laughs. Okay, well, I will do my best to get him in a tie. I look over at Hardin, who frowns comically.
Good luck. How is your internship going?
It's good. Well, great, actually. It's a dream come true. I can't believe it. I have my own office, and I basically get paid to read all day. It's perfect. How are classes? I miss literature. Hardin's face turns into a real frown, and I follow his eyes to the middle of the food court. Zed, Logan, and a guy that I have never met before are walking toward us. Zed gives me a friendly wave, and I smile before thinking about it. Hardin glares at me and stands up.
I'll be right back,
he says, and walks off in their direction. I try to continue my conversation with Landon and watch Hardin at the same time, but I'm not sure what to do.
Yeah, it hasn't been the same without you, but I'm so happy for you. At least Hardin hasn't been in class, so I don't have to deal with him,
Landon says. What do you mean he hasn't been in class? Well, besides today. He was there yesterday, right?
No. I figured he dropped again since you left, and he obviously can't be more than 10 feet away from you at all times.
He teases, and my heart warms despite my concern over his missing classes. I look over at Hardin, who has his back to me, but I can tell from how stiff his shoulders are that he's tense. The guy who I don't recognize has a slick smile on his face, and Zed is shaking his head. Logan seems uninterested in them and focuses on checking out a group of girls walking by. Hardin takes a step toward the guy, and I can't tell if they are messing around or not. I'm so sorry, Landon, but I will call you back, I say, and hang up. Leaving our trays on the table, I go over to them, hoping in the back of my mind that no one messes with our food.
Hey, Tessa, how are you?
Zed asks, and moves forward to hug me. I feel myself flush and politely hug him back. I know better than to look up at Hardin when our embrace ends. Zed's hair is sticking straight up in the front in a very hot, messy way, and he's wearing all black with his leather jacket that has patches all over the front and back.
Hardin, aren't you going to introduce your friend?
The stranger says. He smiles and it gives me chills. I can tell he is not a nice guy.
Yeah.
Hardin waves his hand between us.
This is my friend Tessa. Tessa, this is Jace.
Friend? I feel like I have just been kicked in the stomach. I try my best to hide my humiliation and smile. Do you go to WCU? I ask. My voice is much more composed than I feel inside.
Hell no. I don't do the college thing.
He chuckles coolly.
But if all the girls there looked like you, I would be happy to reconsider.
I gulp and wait for Hardin to say something. Oh, right, I am his friend. Why would he? I stay silent and wish I had just stayed at the table.
We are going to the docks tonight. You two should make an appearance,
Zed says.
We can't. Maybe next time,
Hardin says. I contemplate interrupting and saying I can, but I am too pissed off to speak.
Why not?
Jace asks.
She has to work tomorrow. I suppose I can drop by later, alone,
he adds.
That's too bad.
Jace smiles at me. His sandy blonde hair falls over his eyes, and he shakes his head to move it. Hardin clenches his jaw and looks at him. I feel like I'm missing something. Who is this guy, anyway?
Yeah, I'll hit you up later when I'm on my way,
Hardin says, and I stalk away. I hear Hardin's boots stomping behind me, but I keep walking. He doesn't call my name, since I'm sure he doesn't want his friends to think anything, but he keeps following me. I walk faster and dip into Macy's and turn a sharp corner, hoping to lose him. No such luck. He grabs my elbow and turns me to face him.
What is wrong?
His annoyance is obvious. Oh, I don't know, Hardin, I shout. An elderly woman looks at me and I give her an apologetic smile.
Me either. You are the one who just hugged Zed,
he yells. We are already attracting an audience, but I am fuming so I don't care at the moment. Are you embarrassed of me or something? I mean, I get it. I'm not exactly the cool girl, but I thought...
What? No. Of course I'm not embarrassed of you. Are you crazy?
He huffs. I feel crazy at the moment. Why did you introduce me as your friend? You keep talking about living together, and then you tell them we are friends? What are you going to do, hide me? I won't be anyone's secret. If I'm not good enough for your friends to know we're together, then I don't want to be. I turn on my heel and walk away to punctuate my little speech.
Tessa, damn it,
he says and follows me through the store. I reach the dressing rooms and glance at them.
I will follow you,
he says, reading my thoughts. He will, too, so I turn and head toward the exit of the store. Take me home. Now, I demand. I stay quiet and at least 10 feet ahead of Harden as we walk out of the mall into his car. He moves to open the door for me but backs away when I glare at him. If I were him, I would keep my distance. I stare out the window and think of all the terrible things I could say to him, but I stay silent. I'm mostly just embarrassed that he feels like he can't tell people we are together. I know I'm not like his friends, and they probably all think I'm a loser or not cool enough, but that shouldn't matter to him. I find myself wondering if Zed would hide our relationship from his friends, and I can't help but think that he wouldn't. Come to think of it, Harden has never actually called me his girlfriend. I probably should have waited to sleep with him until he at least confirmed we were dating.
Are you done throwing a fit?
He asks as we pull onto the highway.
A fit? You aren't serious.
My voice fills his small car.
I don't know why it's such a big deal to you that I called you my friend. That's not what I meant. I was just caught off guard.
He lies. I can tell he is lying by the way his eyes dart away from mine. If you are embarrassed of me, then I don't want to see you anymore, I say. I dig my nails into my leg to keep from crying.
Don't say that to me.
He runs his hand over his hair and takes a deep breath.
Tessa, why do you assume that I am embarrassed of you? That is just fucking ridiculous,
he growls. Have fun at your party tonight.
Please, I'm not going. I just said that so Jace would lay off.
What I say next I know is a terrible idea, but I want to prove a point. If you aren't embarrassed of me, then take me to the party.
Absolutely fucking not,
he says through his teeth. Exactly, I snap.
I'm not taking you there because Jace is a dick, for one. Two, it's not the kind of place you should be.
Why not? I can handle myself.
Jace and his friends are way out of your league, Tessa. Hell, they're even out of my league. They're all stoners and scum.
Then why are you friends with him? I roll my eyes.
There is a big difference between being friendly and being friends.
Well, why would Zed hang out with them then?
I don't know. Jace isn't one of those guys that you say no to.
He explains. So you're afraid of him. That's why you didn't say anything when he came on to me, I point out. Jace must be really bad if Harden is afraid of him. Harden surprises me by laughing.
I'm not afraid of him. I just don't want to provoke him. He likes games, and if I provoked him with you, he would turn you into a game.
His knuckles turn white from his grip on the steering wheel. Well, good thing we're just friends then, I say, and look out the window at the beautiful view of the city passing by. I'm not perfect. I know I'm acting childish, but I can't help it. Knowing how big a creep Jace is, I get why Harden did what he did, but that doesn't make it hurt less. Chapter 82. When we get to the room, I plop down on the bed. I'm still angry with Harden, but not as angry as I was. I don't want any more attention from Jace than necessary, but meeting him has only raised more questions that I know Harden doesn't want me to ask.
I really am sorry. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings,
he says. I don't look at him because I know I will turn to mush. He needs to know that I won't put up with him doing things like that.
Do you still want me?
He asks, his voice shaky. When I look over at him, I can see his vulnerability. I sigh, knowing I am not able to hold on to my anger when his eyes are so full of worry. Yeah, of course I do. Come here, I tell him, and pat the bed next to me. I have no willpower when it comes to this man. Do you consider me your girlfriend? I ask as he sits down.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems a little silly to call you that,
he says. Silly? I pick at my fingernails, a bad habit I have yet to kick.
You are more to me than some adolescent title.
He puts his large hands on both sides of my face. His answer makes my stomach flip in the best way. I can't help the grin that is plastered on my face. His shoulders immediately relax. I don't like that you don't want people to know about us. How would we live together if you won't even tell your friends about us?
It's not like that. Do you want me to call Zed right now and tell him? If anything, you should be embarrassed to be with me. I see the way people look at us when we are together,
he says. So he does notice the way people look at the two of us. They only stare at us because we look different, and that's their problem. I would never be embarrassed to be seen with you. Ever, Harden.
You had me worried that you were going to give up on me,
he says. Give up on you?
You're the only constant in my life. You know that, don't you? I don't know what I would do if you left me,
he says. I won't leave you if you don't give me a reason to, I assure him, but I can't think of a single thing he could do to make me leave him. I'm in too deep. Thinking of leaving him sends a pain through my body that I can't bear. It would break me. Even if we fight every single day, I love him.
I won't,
he says. He looks away for a second, then meets my eyes again.
I like who I am with you.
I turn my cheek into his hand farther. I do too. I love him, every part of him, all versions of him. Mostly, I like who I have become with him. We have both been changed for the better by each other. I have somehow gotten him to open up and have brought happiness to him, and he has taught me how to live and not worry about every detail.
I know I piss you off sometimes. Well, a lot of the time. And God knows you drive me fucking insane,
he says. Thanks?
I'm just saying, just because we fight doesn't mean we shouldn't be together. Everyone fights.
He smiles.
We just fight more than normal people. You and I are very different people, so we'll just have to figure out how to navigate one another. It will get easier,
he assures me. I return his smile and run my fingers through his dark hair. We still didn't get anything to wear to the wedding, I point out.
Oh, darn. Looks like we can't go.
He turns his face into the most insincere frown I have ever seen and kisses my nose. You wish. It's only Tuesday. We have all week.
Or we could skip it and I could take you to Seattle for the weekend.
He lifts an eyebrow. What? I sit up. I mean, no, we are going to the wedding, I correct myself. But you could take me to Seattle next weekend.
Nope, offer's only good for a limited time,
he teases and pulls me onto his lap. Fine, I guess I'll have to find someone else to take me to Seattle. His jaw tenses and I trace my fingertips over the stubble on his chin and jaw.
You wouldn't dare.
His lips twitch to hold his smile. Oh, I most certainly would. Seattle is my favorite place, after all.
Your favorite place?
Yeah, I haven't really been anywhere else.
Where is the farthest place you've gone?
He asks. I lay my head on his chest, and he lies back against the headboard, wrapping his arms around me. Seattle. I haven't left Washington.
Ever?
He exclaims. Nope, never.
Why not?
I don't know. We just couldn't afford to after my dad left. My mother worked all the time, and I was too focused on school and getting out of that town that I didn't really think of much else, except working.
Where would you want to go?
He asks, his fingers rubbing up and down my arm. Chawton. I want to see Jane Austen's farmhouse. Or Paris. I would love to see where Hemingway stayed while he was there.
I knew you would say those places. I could take you there.
His tone is serious. Let's just start with Seattle, I giggle.
I mean it, Tessa. I could take you anywhere you want to go, especially England. I did grow up there, after all. You could meet my mom and the rest of my family.
I actually have nothing to say. He is so strange. He introduces me as his friend an hour ago, and now he's taking me to England to meet his mother. Let's just start with Seattle? I laugh.
Fine. But I know you would love to drive through the English countryside, see the house Austen grew up in.
I can't imagine how my mother would react to me leaving the country with Harden. She would probably lock me in her attic and never let me out. I still haven't spoken to her since she stormed out of my dorm after threatening me in an attempt to get me to stop seeing Harden. I want to avoid that inevitable argument for as long as I can.
What's wrong?
He asks, and dips his head down in front of my face. Nothing, sorry. I was just thinking of my mother.
Oh. She'll come around, babe.
He sounds so sure, but I know her better than that. I don't think so. but let's talk about something else. We start talking about the wedding, but Harden's phone vibrates in his pocket after a moment. I shift off him so he can get it out, but he makes no move to do so.
"Whoever it is can wait,"
he says, which makes me happy. "Will we be staying at your dad's house Saturday after the wedding?" I ask. I need to get my mind off my mother.
"Is that what you want to do?"
he asks. "Yeah, I like it there. This bed is tiny." I crinkle my nose and he laughs.
"We could stay at my place more often. What about tonight?"
"I have my internship in the morning."
"So? You can bring your stuff with you and get ready in an actual bathroom. I haven't been to my room in a while. They are probably already trying to rent it out."
He jokes.
"Don't you want to take a shower without 30 other people in the same room?"
Sold. I smile and climb off the bed. Harden helps me pack my things for tomorrow, and I grow more and more excited to go to the frat house. I hated that house, and still pretty much do, but the thought of a shower in an actual bathroom and Harden's large bed is too appealing to pass up. He grabs the red set of lingerie out of my dresser and hands it to me with a series of eager nods, and I flush before shoving it in my bag. I pack one of my old black skirts and a white blouse, wanting to space out my new dresses.
"Red bra with white shirt,"
Harden points out. I pull the white shirt out and grab a blue one instead.
"You could bring extra clothes with you so you won't have to bring so much next time,"
he suggests. He wants me to keep clothes at his place. I love how it's a given that we will stay the night together every night. "I guess I could," I say, and grab my new white dress and a few other random things.
"You know what would make it much easier?"
he asks, and pulls my bag over his shoulder as we head outside. "What?" I already know what he is going to say.
"If we both lived at the same place."
He smiles.
"We wouldn't have to decide which place to stay at, and you wouldn't have to pack a bag. You would have a private shower every day. Well, not totally private."
He winks playfully. And just when I think he's done, when we get to his car and he opens the door for me, he adds,
"You could wake up and make your own coffee in our kitchen and get ready for the day, and we could meet up at our place at the end of every day. None of this roommate or frat house shit."
Every time he says "R," my stomach flutters. The more I think about it, the better it sounds. I am just terrified of moving too fast with Harden. I don't want it to blow up in my face. As we drive to the house, he puts his hand on my thigh and again says,
"Stop overthinking it."
I hear his phone vibrating again, but he ignores it. This time I can't help but be a little suspicious of why he isn't picking up the phone, but I push the thought from my head.
"What are you afraid of?"
he asks when I don't respond. "I don't know. What if something happens with my internship and I can't afford it? Or if something happens with us?" He frowns but recovers quickly.
"Babe, I already told you I would pay for the place. It was my idea and I make more, so let me do this."
"I don't care how much you make. I don't like the idea of you paying for everything."
"You can pay cable then?"
he smirks. "Cable and groceries?" I offer. I can't decide if I am speaking hypothetically anymore or not.
"Deal. Groceries. That sounds nice, doesn't it? You could have my dinner ready every night when I get home."
"Excuse me? It would be the other way around." I laugh.
"We could rotate days."
"Deal."
"So you're moving in with me then?"
I don't think I have ever seen a deeper grin on his perfect face. I didn't say that. I was just...
"You know I will take care of you, right?"
"Always," he promises. I want to tell him that I don't want to be taken care of, that I want to earn things and pay for my own share of things, but I get the feeling he isn't talking just financially. I am afraid this is too good to be true, I finally admit to Harden and myself. He surprises me by saying,
"Me too."
"Really?" I am relieved that he feels the same way.
"Yeah, the thought crosses my mind all the time. You are too good for me, and I'm just waiting on you to realize it, and hoping that you don't,"
he says, his eyes focused on the road. That's not going to happen, and I mean it. He doesn't say anything. "Okay," I break the silence.
"Okay what?"
"Okay, I will move in with you," I smile. He lets out a breath that sounds like he has been holding it for hours.
"Really?"
His dimples pop as he shakes his head and flashes a smile. "Yeah."
"You have no idea what this means to me, Teresa."
He puts his hand over mine and squeezes. Hardin turns onto his street and my mind races. We are really doing this. We are moving in together. Me and Hardin, alone, all the time, in our own place, our own bed, our everything. I am scared as hell, but my excitement is stronger than my nervousness, for the moment at least. Don't call me Teresa or I will change my mind, I tease.
You said only friends and family can call you that. I think I've earned it.
He remembers that? I think I said that right after I met him. I grin. Point well made. Call me whatever you want.
Oh, babe, I wouldn't say that if I were you. I have a whole list of perverted things I would love to call you.
His smile is wicked, and I find myself wanting to hear his dirty words. But I stop myself from asking and squeeze my legs together. He must notice because his smile grows. Just as I'm coming up with a line about how perverted he is, the words are lost in my throat. Pulling up to the house, we see that the yard is littered with people and the street is full of cars.
Damn it. I didn't know they were having a party tonight. It's fucking Tuesday. See, this is the shit.
It's fine. We can just go straight to your room, I interrupt, trying to diffuse his irritation.
Fine,
he sighs. When we walk into the crowded house, Hardin and I head straight for the stairs. Just as I begin to think I made it without running into anyone I know, I spot a mound of greasy, sandy blonde hair at the top of the stairs. Jace. Chapter 83. Hardin notices Jace the same time that I do and turns to look at me, then back at Jace, tensing immediately. For a second, it seems like Hardin might turn us around, but then Jace definitely spots us, and I know Hardin won't risk antagonizing him by backing away now. All around us, the party rages, but all I can focus on is Jace's mischievous smile, which flat out gives me the creeps. As we reach the top of the stairs, Jace gives an exaggerated look of surprise and says,
"Didn't think I'd see you two here, you know, since you couldn't make it to the docks and all." "Yeah, we were just coming here,"
Hardin begins.
"Oh, I get why you were coming here."
Jace smiles and pats Hardin on his shoulder. I cringe as his brown eyes move to me.
"It's definitely a pleasure to see you again, Tessa,"
he says coolly. I glance at Hardin, but he is too focused on Jace to notice. "Yeah, you too," I manage.
"Well, good thing you didn't come to the docks anyway. Cops came and broke up our party, so we moved it here."
Meaning that Jace's slimy friends are here somewhere. More people Hardin doesn't like. I wish we had just stayed at my dorm. By the look in Hardin's eyes, I can tell he wishes the same.
"That sucks, man,"
Hardin says, and then tries to continue on down the hall. Jace grabs Hardin's arm and says,
"You two should come down and have a drink with us." "She doesn't drink,"
Hardin huffs, annoyance clear in his voice. Unfortunately, that annoyance seems to encourage Jace even more.
"Oh well, you should still come have some fun. I insist," he says.
Hardin looks at me, and my eyes widen as I try to silently say no, but then he nods at Jace. What the hell?
"I'll come down in a minute. Let me get her settled in,"
Hardin mumbles, then pulls me by my wrist to his room before Jace can say anything. Unlocking the door to his room, he hurries me inside and quickly closes the door. "I don't want to go down there," I tell him as he sets my bag down.
"You're not."
"And you are?" I ask him.
"Yeah, just for a minute. I won't be long."
He rubs the back of his neck with his hand. "Why didn't you just tell him no?" I ask. For someone who claims he isn't afraid of him, Hardin seems to be very intimidated by Jace.
"I already told you he's hard to say no to,"
he says. "Does he have something over you or something?"
"What?"
Hardin's face flushes.
"No, he's just a dick, and I don't want any trouble, especially not around you," he says, and steps forward to me. "I won't be down there long, but I know him, and if I don't go have a drink with him, he will come back up here. And I don't want him anywhere near you,"
he says, and kisses me on the cheek. "Okay," I sigh.
"I need you to stay in here, though. I know it's not ideal with the music bumping downstairs, but I can't really think of a way out at this point."
"Okay," I repeat. "I don't want to go down there anyway. I hate these parties, and I definitely don't want to see Molly if she is here."
"I mean it, okay?"
he demands in a soft voice. I said okay. "Just don't leave me up here alone for long," I plead.
"I won't. We should go sign that paperwork tomorrow for the apartment, right after you get done at Vance. I don't want to worry about this kind of shit again.
I don't want to have to deal with these parties and my small dorm anymore. I want to eat my meals in a kitchen instead of a dining hall, and I want the freedom of being an adult. Spending time on campus and living there only reminds me how young we actually are.
All right. I will be back soon. Lock the door when I go out and don't open it again. I have a key.
He swiftly kisses my lips and turns for the door. Geez, you act like someone is going to murder me, I joke to break the tension. Not that he returns to laugh before walking out of the room. I roll my eyes but lock the door anyway. The last thing I want to deal with is drunk people wandering in here looking for a place to fool around. I turn on his television, hoping to drown out some of the noise from downstairs, but my mind keeps wandering to what's going on down there. Why is Harden so intimidated by Jace, and why is Jace such a creep? Are they playing their usual immature game of truth or dare again? What if Harden has dared to kiss Molly? What if she is sitting on his lap like before? I hate the jealousy that I feel toward her. It drives me insane. I know Harden has slept with and fooled around with many different girls, Steph included. But Molly just gets under my skin. Maybe it's because I know she doesn't like me and she tries to shove her fling with Harden down my throat. And you caught her straddling him with her tongue down his throat the first time you met her, my subconscious reminds me. And eventually all these thoughts get to me. I know I should stay put and keep the door locked, but my feet have other plans, and before I know it, I am taking the steps two at a time to find Harden. When I reach the bottom of the stairs, I spot Molly's hideous pink hair and barely there outfit. Much to my relief, Harden isn't anywhere to be found.
Well, 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 a voice from behind me says. I turn to see Jace standing less than a foot away. Harden said you weren't feeling well. He's always lying, that one.
He smiles and pulls a lighter out of his pocket. He flicks the top with his thumb, igniting the flame, and brings it to the hem of his jean vest to burn off some of the fringe. I decide to keep Harden's lie going. I wasn't, but I'm feeling a bit better now.
So quickly?
He laughs, obviously amused. The room feels much smaller now, and the party crowd seems larger. I nod and survey the room, desperate to find Harden.
Come. I want you to meet some of my friends,
Jace says. His voice never fails to send a shiver down my spine. I think I should find Harden, I stutter.
Come on. Harden is over there with them anyway,
he says, and moves to put his arm over my shoulder. I take a step aside to pretend that I didn't notice his gesture. I consider going back upstairs so Harden doesn't know I came down in the first place, but I get the feeling Jace will follow me or tell Harden. Most likely both. Okay, I say, giving in. I follow Jace through the crowd, and he leads me outside to the backyard. It's dark but for a few porch lights. I start to feel nervous about following Jace out into the dark yard until my eyes meet Harden's. He is widened with surprise, then anger, and he moves to stand up, but then sits back down.
Look who I found wandering all by herself,
Jace says, and gestures to me.
I see that,
Harden mumbles. He is pissed. I stand in front of the small circle of unrecognizable faces sitting around what looks like a fire pit made from large rocks, not that there's any fire going. There are some girls there, but mostly it's pretty tough-looking guys.
Come here,
Harden says, and scoots over so there is room for me on the rock that he is sitting on. I take a seat, and Harden gives me a look that says if all these people weren't around, he would be absolutely screaming at me. Jace leans over and says something into the ear of a guy with a ripped-up white shirt and black hair.
Why aren't you in my room?
Harden says, quietly but forcefully. I don't know. I thought maybe Molly, I begin to say, but realize how stupid it sounds.
You're not serious,
he says, with a hint of exasperation, and runs his hand over his hair. The attention is put back on us when the black-haired guy hands me a bottle of vodka.
She doesn't drink,
Harden says, and grabs it out of my hands.
Damn, Scott, she can speak for herself,
another guy says. He has a nice smile and doesn't seem as creepy as Jace or the guy with the black hair. Harden laughs lightly, though I can tell it's a fake laugh.
Mind your own business, Ronnie,
Harden says in a light tone.
So who's up for a game?
Jace asks, and I look at Harden. Please tell me you guys don't play truth or dare at parties, too. Honestly, what is up with playing games anyway? I groan.
Ooh, I like her. Nice and feisty,
Ronnie says, and I laugh.
Who says there is anything wrong with playing a few games now and then?
Jay slurs, and Harden tenses next to me.
No, actually we were thinking of strip poker,
another guy says. Oh, no way, I tell them.
What about suck and blow?
Jay says, and I cringe and blush. I am not sure what that is, but it doesn't sound like something I want to play with this group. Never heard of it, but no thanks, I say. I see Harden smile out of the corner of my eye.
It's a fun game. More fun when you've had a drink or two,
a male voice says from somewhere. I think about grabbing the bottle from Harden and taking a drink, but I have to get up early and I don't want to have a hangover.
We don't have enough girls to play suck and blow anyway,
Ronnie says.
I can get some,
Jace says, and disappears into the house before anyone can protest.
Go back upstairs, please,
Harden says quietly, so only I can hear. If you come with me, I respond.
Okay, let's go.
But as we stand up, a groan goes up from the circle.
Where are you going, Scott?
One of the guys asks.
Upstairs,
he answers.
Come on, we haven't seen you in months. Hang out for a little while longer.
Harden looks at me and I shrug.
All right, fine,
Harden says, and guides me back to the large stone.
I'll be right back. Stay here this time. I mean it,
he tells me, and I roll my eyes, finding it pretty ironic that he's leaving me alone with what is supposedly the worst group of people here. Where are you going? I ask him before he walks away.
To get a drink. You may need one, too.
He smiles and goes inside. I stare at the sky and the fire pit alternately to avoid any awkward conversation. It doesn't work.
So how long have you and Harden known each other?
Ronnie asks and takes a swig of liquor. A few months, I answer politely. Something about Ronnie is comforting. My senses aren't on high alert with him like they are with Jace.
Oh, so not long then,
he says. Yeah, I guess. Not long. How long have you known him? I ask, realizing I might as well use this opportunity to get as much information about Harden as possible.
Since last year.
Where did you meet him? I try to sound casual.
Party. Well, a lot of parties.
He laughs. Oh, you're his friend then?
Nosy little thing, aren't you?
The guy with the black hair chimes in. Sure am, I reply, and he laughs. They aren't so bad, not as bad as Harden made them out to be. Where is he, anyway? A few moments later, Harden appears with Jace and three girls behind them. What the hell? Jace and Harden seem to be in conversation, and Jace pats Harden on the back and they both laugh. Harden's hands are full with two red cups. I'm just relieved that Molly isn't among the group of girls trailing them. He sits back down on the rock with me and gives me a playful little look. At least he seems to be more relaxed than he was before he walked away.
Here,
he says, and hands me one of the cups. I stare at it for a second before grabbing it from him. One drink won't hurt. I recognize the taste instantly. The night that Zed and I kissed, we had been drinking these. Harden stares at me, and I lick my lips to collect the taste of the drink.
Now we have enough girls,
Jay says, and gestures to the newcomers. I look over to them and fight the instinct to judge. They are scantily clad in skirts, and their shirts are identical except the colors. The one in the pink shirt smiles at me, so I decide that I like her the best.
You aren't playing,
Harden says in my ear. I want to tell him that I will do whatever the hell I please, but he leans into me and puts his arm around my waist. I look up at him, obviously surprised, but he just smiles.
I love you,
he whispers. His lips are cold against my ear and I shiver.
Okay, so everyone knows how this works,
Jace says loudly.
We all need to get in a smaller circle, but first, let's really get the party going.
He smirks and pulls something out of his pocket. His lighter appears again and lights the small white object.
It's pot,
Harden tells me quietly. I figured that it was, even if I haven't actually seen marijuana before. I nod and watch as Jace brings the joint to his lips and lets out a large puff of smoke before holding it out in front of Harden. Harden shakes his head and declines. Ronnie grabs it and inhales deeply, coughing loudly.
Tessa?
Ronnie says and holds it out. No. No thanks, I say, and lean farther into Harden. All right then, let's play, one of the girls says and pulls something from her purse as everyone moves from their rocks and forms a smaller circle on the grass.
Come on, Harden,
Jace groans, but Harden shakes his head.
I'm good, man. We need one more girl, then. Unless you want to take the chance of having Dan's tongue down your throat.
Ronnie laughs. Dan must be the guy with the black hair. A quiet redhead with a lot of facial hair takes a hit from the joint and passes it back to Jace. I finish the last sip of my drink and reach for Harden's. He lifts a brow at me but lets me take it. I'll grab Molly. God knows she'll be down, the girl in the pink shirt says. When I hear her name, my hatred for Molly takes over my common sense, and I blurt out, I'll play.
Really?
Jace questions.
Is she allowed?
Dan asks with a smirk and looks at Harden. I can do what I please, thank you, I say, and give him an innocent smile despite my bitchy tone. I know better than to look at Harden. He already told me not to play, but I just couldn't keep my big mouth shut. I down the rest of his drink, then take a seat next to the girl in the pink shirt. You have to sit in between two guys, the girl tells me. Oh, okay, I say, and get up.
I'm playing too,
Harden grumbles and sits down. I sit next to him instinctively, but still avoid eye contact. Jace sits on my other side.
I think Harden should sit over here to make things more interesting,
Dan says, and the redhead nods in agreement. Harden rolls his eyes and moves across from me. I don't get the point of this seating arrangement. Why does it matter who sits by whom? When Dan moves to sit next to me, I begin to feel nervous. Sitting between him and Jace is more than uncomfortable. Can we start? The girl in green whines. She is sitting between Harden and the redhead. Jace grabs what looks like a piece of paper from one of the girls and puts it to his mouth. What?
Ready?
He asks me. I don't know how to play, I confess, and hear one of the girls snicker.
You put your mouth on the other side of the paper and suck in. The point is to not let the paper fall. If it falls, you kiss,
he explains. Oh, no. I look over at Harden, but he is focused on Jace.